I breathe, you breathe. Yeah, but do we do it right? And do we do it with conscious effort? Are we breathing for good health? Today, we're going to find out more about breathing as we bring in a guru about breathing, breath work, and managing better health and happiness through breathing. Now, we tried to come up with a name for today's episode. Brady, producer Brady, what's your suggestion?
My suggestion is squeezing the shaman.
Don't squeeze the shaman. I don't know if I like the title, but you're going to like this, and I guarantee you'll feel better at the end of today's episode for having been here. Here we go. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, in the flesh, well, remote to me, but glad he is. Jake Breathe, how are you?
Hey, you doing good, man. How's it going?
Good. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and I'll be honest with you. I don't think you've ever met a better candidate for needing to breathe deeper and in a more healthy way. But I think I'm probably not the only one in this era who really needs to kind of take a moment and focus on breathing. Now, listen, before we get going, I have some preconceived notions that maybe many other people have about breathing. And the first is, yeah, I do it all day long. I don't think I do it consciously. And then the other thing is that breathing is something that people think they only need to do in moments of anxiety, moments of pressure, sadness, depression, when really, I think that there's probably more to it. Am I off base with some of those assumptions?
No, you're right on. And that's the thing. It's like we wait until it gets too, like everything's there. Now we breathe. But it's like if you're conscious with your breath throughout the day, you won't have that huge buildup, right? You won't have a panic attack if you're conscious of the breath throughout the day.
I've noticed in some of the reading that I've done, and I have the benefit of being married to a psychotherapist who, often does the research on breathing and is, big into spiritual awareness from within. And so I hear a lot of this, but I am the husband. What I have noticed in a lot of mysticism, a lot of religion, ritualistic practice and healing, there's a lot of illustrations that demonstrate the lungs, the heart connecting to the mind, and then the spirit. You see this circulation of energy that comes through. Now, that's about as hippie as I can get on this, but it is something that I've noticed, and it was pointed out to me that that's not an accident.
For sure. The bridge between the mind and the body is the breath. So like if we're in this 3D realm as 3D humans, we have our names, we have this whole thing. That's all, like, we're all heady that way, as I like to call it. When you connect to the body, that intuitive, like, so if you're in a conversation or something doesn't feel right, or you have that gut instinct, that's the body, man. That's, I would say that's 5D. That's higher than just this realm, right? That's the connection to earth. So that breath really helps anchor between that mindset. So you're not just a airy fairy, hippy dippy, whatever. It brings the groundedness to that next level. So yeah, it's a beautiful practice.
Okay. So let's talk about what breath work is and how people can benefit from it. Who benefits from it?
Everyone, man. Like, there's so many, breathwork's such a loaded term, right? Like, there's so many different kinds. There's like just super simple, like just to calm down, just to get grounded, just to anchor. And then there's what I teach, which is more of a transformational breathwork, like you talked about, like a deeper where you're like activating DMT. It's called dimethyltryptamine, produced in the brain. It's what makes you dream at night. It's also produced mostly in the lungs. So through these ancient breathing techniques, you're activating that DMT from within and having like potential hallucinogenic experiences, full on visions, strictly with breath, right? You don't need to take the mushrooms or the ayahuasca and be out of your control. It's still something that you're controlling, but coming through you. So yeah, it helps everyone on many different levels.
That's worth focusing on. There are a lot of ways that people are treating themselves. Ayahuasca, DMT. By the way, DMT is the chemical that's released in your body at the moment of death or in that area. Graham Hancock would tell you that it's the spirit molecule that connects us to God. So that is in itself a little bit of a bit of education from the world of spirituality and mysticism that seems to connect this chemical that's in all of us to the spirit realm, or to, you know, connection to the universe.
Totally.
And now you're saying, okay, so DMT, that's one option, of course. And we did an episode not so long ago about psychedelics and medicine. Psilocybin and DMT was one of those, ayahuasca in that group as well. This, and all of those seem to put you out of your personal control, your physical control at that moment. Ayahuasca makes you very sick. DMT makes you trip. Mushrooms may do the same thing to you. What you're talking about here then is this has the same sort of chemical effects on you without having that loss of control chemically from an outside substance.
It totally can. And it's funny because even the breath, there's a sense of, it's not loss of control, but like a sense of surrender. Because you can sit there the whole time. But if you're like, if you're still holding in the mind, like, oh, I'm Jake sitting here breathing, I'm going to, and you're just focused on that anchor point, you're not going to have this release or this experience. There's a surrender that needs to happen where, yes, you're breathing, but that's it. You're no longer the watcher. Like, what's coming next? Oh, I'm breathing. Am I going to trip? Is this going to happen? There's like, there's something called the double slit theory, the double slit experiment. I don't know if you're aware of that, where energy acts differently when it's observed. So they
say, I've heard about this. Yeah, they've proven this is true.
They shoot particle waves, and it should go in a straight line. And when they're looking at it, it does. When they don't examine it, it splits like a wave, which makes no sense, breaks all physics, and da da da. And then they
go back to watching it, and it's like,
they try to trick it with a camera. They're like, all right, we won't film the camera until after it. And then it just is a straight line. And the way I put that is like, if you've ever seen a kid do something interesting or cool, or like, or even you yourself, you do something cool and someone's like, hey, do that again. Let me film it. Instantly, you're like, you can't replicate it.
You can't do that. You're being watched.
Like,
yeah.
So there's something weird about that.
Surrender that moment genuinely is what you're saying. Okay, I'm not doing breath work for virtue signaling or because somebody is going to witness me, or that I'm even witnessing myself with an ego. You just need to do the breath work to make it
work. Just focus on the in and the out, and the in and the out. And then from there, next thing you know, you're already like, you've been able to get away from that kind of chained in feeling of the humanness.
What kind of breath work? Give me some examples of different kinds of breath work, and you can demonstrate them if you want. And I'd like to tell you that I would participate with you, but my shame and ego may not let me. But what I would do is encourage you to maybe share with us a couple of things that might work.
Totally. The two main ones that I use, the first one's like the pump up. So I say you're filling your vehicle, right? You're at the gas station, you're charging up. So that's a big belly into the chest. I've kind of steered away from the two part and just one big breath, just to simplify it. Wim Hof method. I don't know.
Wim Hof, I've heard, yes.
So he's belly chest. So that's nice and it's structured. What I like to teach is one big, no pause between. We do that for about 35 minutes to really activate the system. We then move into what's called mother wave, slow, gentle breath. You can go in through the nose, out through the mouth. And that's used to kind of go on the journey. You've harnessed the prana, the energy, the chi up with the big breath, and you kind of like let that anchor it in. Holotropic breathing is very similar to what I just discussed. There's also like breath wave is another thing. There's many different names, but it's all kind of the same stuff. The one you showed me at the beginning when you said you're in traffic, there's something similar to that. It's called the breath of fire. So it's all done through the nose and it's pumping the diaphragm. And it's like, so you'll do some like big full like, and then to like really get that energy like up, you do the breath fire, and then you can bring a root lock in. So you're squeezing basically the pelvic floor, and it's bringing energy, as you said, up the spine, up into the third eye. You can squeeze the gut, you can squeeze the throat, and these are all where like meridian points are in the body. You can say chakras, your chakra system.
Chakras, okay.
Energy stored in each one of those points. So through the like bringing up of that energy, you can start to unlock certain codes in the body. It's crazy.
There you go. Try some of those.
Many different ones to try.
Let's get a bit into you and breathwork overall. Where did breathwork start? Is this a new thing? Is this a new discovery to humanity, or is this something we've been doing through the ages?
Yeah, ancient, super ancient. A lot of these techniques are, I mean, modern twists put on them for sure, but all the ancient text, it goes right back to breath. How I found it, I heard ayahuasca, I heard DMT. It was all came through Joe Rogan, and I was like, that sounds cool. Sign me up. I want to trip out. That sounds awesome. He had a float tank is what he talked about or whatever. So we started at the float center, and from the float center, there was actually, after we went to the float center, there was a poster, a shamanic meet and greet, and it mentioned, I learned about ayahuasca. I was like, too good to be true. So I showed up to this ayahuasca like meet and greet. It was with a shaman. It was super interesting. Told us all the story about working in Peru for the last 5 years and how he got there, all of it. And at the end of the session, there's a group of them talking in the corner, kind of like whispering. I heard ayahuasca ceremony. So I'm like, I think it was 22 at the time. I just come walking out and go, I'd like to be a part of that. Sign me. And the shaman, I remember, he just like turns and looks at me and like, just like the, okay, young grasshopper, like just like the hold on there type thing. He's like, have you ever done breathing before? Yeah, all this, every day. What do you mean?
I breathe all day long, dude. Yeah.
What are you talking about? They're like, no, come to this session. Like, if you want to do ayahuasca, like, you like come do breath. This is kind of like your entry level. Like, all right, whatever. So that weekend, I show up. First time ever at a yoga studio, completely out of place. I'm skater, rapper, baggy clothes, whatever. They're all tight yoga pants and acting prim and proper. You know how yogis can be. And I show up there and lay down. I paid my $60 or whatever it was. And she tells us, okay, you're going to be breathing into your chest and letting go. And you may feel... I'm like, I just paid $60 to get told how to, like, really, this is the thing. Like, anyway, so I lay back. I'm telling you, man, 15 minutes, not even 15, it's like 10 minutes into this through the, there's electricity like coming out of my hands. Like my whole like system was coming online. I started to cry, but I wasn't sad. It was just like started coming out, and the weight off my chest was like coming out of, from the cry, coming out of my arms. And it's like, I could just feel the energy coming off of me. At one point, it was right after I was crying, the one dude started to laugh in the corner, and my mind just, I'm like, how dare you laugh at me crying my pain? Is this a joke? And I just got in this whole mind thing of, and then I caught myself and go, Jake, this isn't about you. Like, that guy's having his own experience. He's laughing. So I started to laugh about, like, my seriousness over my pain. And then that rippled into someone else laughing. And the whole room ended up in this, like, laughter. But from the breath and the energy, like, they say laughter is the best medicine. This, like, I can describe it as, like, chunks of rocks that are, like, held in the body were just, like, melting and releasing through the body. Like, it was profound. At one point, my hands fully locked. I couldn't open them whatsoever. Come to find out, it's something called tetany. It's, again, your energetic pathways opening up. This was all my very first session, and I was hooked. I talked to the facilitator. I was like, where did you get trained? Some lady in Alberta. 4 or 5 months later, I flew out to Alberta, got trained. I've been in it ever since. That was 2017.
And so how long have you been doing this now? Because you look 27 now.
No, yeah, I'm 31. It was since 2017 when I got certified. I've been doing it ever since. And then also
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's all good. I was doing apprenticeship with that shaman. So the shaman that said do the breath work, I did that. And then we did ayahuasca. And then, yeah, that's a whole other story. But he basically chose me to be his apprentice, the way I handled the medicine. I went from not knowing anything, man, like not even believing this, to like fully into it, like completely. Like, you can't deny this. When it happens to you, you can't deny that it's real. So I went full on into that. And that's been my path ever since, really.
And what kind of people are you helping with this, or what people are seeking you out?
All walks of life, man. Like, even last night, I just did a workshop, and I had like a 22-year-old teen that's looking to dive deeper into his spirituality, and I had a 65-year-old lady that's trying to heal from some grief. So it's like, it's so, when they say like define your ideal client to market, and I'm like, I don't have one, right? I put out my vibration, and whoever is attracted kind of comes in.
How did people find out about you anyway? I noticed that you have a pretty active Instagram.
Yeah, it's not huge, but I put my stuff out on Instagram. Word of mouth is a big one, honestly. Like, people have massive experiences and tell people, and the next thing I know, their friends are wanting to come in, or a partner or something like that. But I need to get more on my social game with the TikTok and the audio. It just doesn't feel authentic to me. So it's
you know what? I'll be honest with you, Jake. I meet you now, and I think, please don't let social media envelop this beautiful spirit. So this is maybe a good way for people to find out more about you. What are some of the benefits that you see that people are having, you know, once they get into the breath work and it's actually taken hold? What kind of changes are you seeing in people's lives or even in your own?
So I started, when I first started, I got my office, I was working with a psychotherapist. So she was like 24 or 5 years in the game and I was 23 or 4 years old. And we were working off each other. So I'd have a client that, you know, they would have a massive breakthrough and they'd be talking about all this stuff. And at the time I couldn't really like handle that. So I would send them over to her. And likewise, she would have a patient that she'd seen for the last 3 years that hasn't made any, you know, real change because they're still stuck in their story, would come over to me and it would break them out of everything. Because so that's, to answer your question, that's the thing. It's like it removed the ego, right? The word ego, we hear that so much, but like the story of my name's Jake, I was this happened to me, I had this problem. Like, yes, all that's true. But when you can come up and out and see it from a bird's eye view and see what really is, that you're not just this one identity or this one person, so much changes. Like I said, I was so serious about my pain and my anger and my, how could you laugh? And they're like, wait, what the fuck? This isn't about me. He's having his own, like, it just gives you that higher perspective to see things on a new level.
You're not just a shaman. By the way, Brady's, I can't remember whose idea it was. Somebody's idea for the title of this episode is Don't Squeeze the Shaman. But the first chance I get to give you a hug, I promise you're getting squeezed.
Heck yeah.
Because you've got a great vibe and I'm sure people are enjoying this, but there's more to you as well. You're not just this breathing guru. You are also like, you have a music career.
Yeah. That's where it started, man. 13 years old. I started hip hop, rhyming words. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What does your music do that relates to your spirituality? I mean, I don't see you out there talking about guns and money and top of the heap. What do you do with your rap?
It's all a journal, man. Like if you look back at all my, I look back at all my stuff and I read it, it's all a journal through my spiritual development, through things I've learned, through stupid mistakes I've made thinking I know it all, year two as a breathwork guru. I've done ayahuasca 6 times. I like seeing those bars come through, right? Like, yeah, it's a beautiful life experience, like era, like a look back of my life experience, basically. I can't make songs for the people. The thing where it's like, make it for the people. What do the people want? It's like, I don't fucking, what do I want to say? That's kind of where right. I come in with that. Yeah.
No, I can understand. That sounds like it's totally on brand for you. If there is a brand for you, is that you will just do what you feel is natural and right, and people will gravitate toward that. What do you think it is that makes people gravitate finally to trying to make change like this in their life?
If they're smart, because they see an opening and they want to take it. If they're like me, it's because they smashed the head on the wall so many times. They're like, hey, there isn't a door here. Hold on, let me try one more time. Oh, okay, yeah, no, it's not a door. Eventually, you got to find another way, right? And then something like that's that amazing. Presents itself with the float studio, with then the shamanic meet and greet poster. And then like, how many stories have I heard where people, you know, I don't know. And then they say yes to one thing. And then from there they meet the guy and then that happened. And then over, like, it's so interesting how it can open up.
It's literal physical proof that we are all connected, isn't it? And people say it's a small world. That's a small universe, I think, probably, if we look at it. Jake, where can people find out more about you, your workshops, how they can connect with you to become a client? Tell us all that stuff. I think that's important.
At Jake Breathe on Instagram or at Lungs of Love on Instagram. Those are my two main ones, basically.
Jake, thanks, man. I really appreciate your time today. I hope people take advantage of getting to know you and understanding breathwork better to make change in their life that makes a big difference.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.